Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of We Got This Podcast. This week's guest is, well, it's actually me, for a change. And I want to talk to you about the second job your employees might be doing, but I can guarantee you that it's not the type of second job that you're thinking of. Enjoy. We Got This showcases individuals and organizations that create people-focused workplace cultures to help it become the norm rather than the exception. It's something that will require a mindset shift, and probably not something that any of us can do alone. But together, we got this. Every single guest on this podcast gets asked the same question at the beginning of our conversation. When you were little, who or what did you want to be when you grew up? And I think it's only fair that I answer that question as well. As far as I can remember, and from what I've been told by my family, I wanted to be a fireman. I guess it's very typical for a little lad to want to emulate policemen, firemen, astronauts. For me, I think it was to do with the fact that I just wanted to put out fires and help. I don't know. Maybe it was something about the uniform. Maybe it was something about the fire truck and how cool it is to ride around in one and, you know, having this huge ladder and all sorts of things. I genuinely can't remember. It's something that I always ask myself and something I always think about when I ask this question to my guests. I can't really picture that. I can't really recall that. So I'm really relying on my family here. One thing that I do remember, and that is that I also had a very kind of startup-y entrepreneurial vibe to me. I remember very, very clearly that there was an apple tree in the forest where we lived. And I wanted to pick those apples and take them to the local market and sell them there and to make a bit of money. I can't have been more than probably 7 or 8, and yet I already had that kind of entrepreneurial quality about me that I guess continues until today. How does that connect to what I do today as an adult? Well, there's actually no clear and direct connection that I can see. There are a few threads that link these things together. One of them is kind of the most obvious one, most representative of my personality, and that is that I'm a generalist, a person who is a jack of all trades. And I like the first part of this expression, but I don't really like the second one. The second part of this expression is, but a master of none. And although that might be true, I'm not a true master or an expert in any of the fields that I'm specialized in. But I think that's fair, and I think that's normal, because I connect so many different disciplines, so many different experiences and skills that I have from various industries, from various jobs that I did, that it would actually be very, very difficult to be an expert in all of them. And the difference between generalists and experts is that experts are insanely good in a very narrow field of their expertise, for lack of a better word. And generalists don't have that. Generalists, obviously, if an expert is focused on one or two areas, for example, a doctor, an engineer, for example, a lawyer, they've got that. Whereas a generalist will be able to know about 10 different disciplines, and to be able to be an extreme expert in all of them would be very, very difficult. There are some people who are capable of that. Fantastic, great for them. I'm not one of them, but I actually pride myself on being a generalist. It really speaks to my personality. It really helps me in doing what I do, simply because I can rely on so much background knowledge and so many different pockets and toolboxes and vaults and pools of knowledge. I really don't know how to describe that I can draw from to come up with some sometimes wacky, sometimes crazy, sometimes completely unrelated and insane solutions to problems that people kind of look at how it can't work. But yet it does. And it's simply from that variety of knowledge that I can, and that experience, that I can do that. And I know there are many generalists, I know there are many experts, and the world needs both. Experts need generalists to help them communicate with one another, to do the things that they are too preoccupied with being an expert to do. They are experts, and that's what they're great at, and that's what they should continue doing. And there are generalists like myself and many others who help them be even better at what they do by doing the stuff that they don't have the time, knowledge, experience, or even the will to do. But anyway, that's enough about me. The reason I wanted to talk to you about the second job, it's because it's something that you've probably heard me talk about quite a lot on this podcast, and it's something that I often talk about in my blog posts on social media and in just in general conversations. And it came up again a couple of weeks ago when I was speaking to Marcin Florian, the director of engineering at Spotify, when we're talking about the myths surrounding leadership and actually aspects of diversity, equality or equity, inclusion and belonging that we don't talk about enough. And here's a little clip from that episode.
I mean, this is kind of my pet peeve almost, is that it is not professional to show emotions at work. I've heard this so many times, and you know, initially I thought like, oh, this is so smart. Of course, that's the right thing to do. But over time, I learned that this is actually nonsense. I'm sorry, this is bullshit. And then the reason it's bullshit is because as human beings, we all have emotions. And those emotions exist whether we want and like them or not. And when we try to hide them, what happens is, first of all, we have to invest a lot of mental energy in keeping them away from others, but we can't keep them forever. And eventually they burst out, and they burst out in either acts of aggression or people burning out or something else happens.
We're humans, right? We can't hide our emotions. So it's not just that we hide emotions at work. We hide emotions everywhere, every day. We hide them at work. We hide them at home. It's not feasible. And what you were talking about, that it basically requires a lot of energy to hide these emotions, is part of what I often refer to as doing a second job. If we look at it in the context of work, is because you're hiding your emotions, you often go beyond that. You're hiding parts of yourself. Again, if we link this back to the IDIB, is that we're hiding parts of our personality, parts of who we are, who we feel that we are, that we can reveal ourselves, no matter what that be, whether it be anything to do with your sexual orientation or your potential, you want to change your gender, you don't feel like you can talk about your religion openly because you're from a different part of the globe, right? This all requires a lot of energy that we need to expand on doing.
I mean, you have to filter yourself. You have to control, like, deeply, you know, is this thing that I'm about to say, is that going to reveal the fact that, you know, I'm a Christian or I'm a Muslim? I don't know. You know, you're absolutely right. I really love the way you phrase this as the second job. That's the second job we shouldn't need to be doing. But I think it is very important to recognize that, I mean, sometimes we're doing all of this because we have the belief that this is, I'd say, like creating some sense of safety for us, in not in the sense of psychological safety, but in terms of protectionism.
Marcin and I continued talking about things that are directly and indirectly linked to the second job, but I encourage you to listen to that episode separately. But as I said earlier, I've been talking about this for quite a long time, and I thought it's high time for me to actually spend a little bit more time and clarify this topic and dive into it a little bit deeper. Let's go back in time a little bit, specifically to 1963, when sociologist Irving Goffman has coined the phrase covering. And he used that phrase to describe how people keep parts of their personality hidden in their work environments, personality as well as identity. Then in 2006, Kenji Yoshino has further developed this concept by grouping aspects that people cover up into appearance, affiliation, advocacy, and association. Yoshino also did a survey that found that 61% of respondents cover up parts of who they are at work in at least one of these areas that he came up with. This means that in businesses large and small, from the IT industry to governmental agencies and organizations, in for-profits and non-profits, in any country, most people are spending their energy and time hiding their weaknesses, inadequacies, rather than working. I don't want this to be too theoretical. So I think it's important to share some kind of everyday examples of what this looks like. One example of doing a second job might be a manager who is covering their lack of knowledge and skills. So imagine a new manager at, for example, retail company. He or she may be struggling with managing a team and understanding the company's processes and procedures. Instead of asking for help or admitting to mistakes, they may try to hide their lack of knowledge and skills and make decisions based on incomplete information. As a result, they may make poor decisions, they might have a lack of accountability, and have basically a very difficult time in identifying and solving problems which can negatively impact the company's bottom line. Another example might be an employee who is covering their mental health issues. For example, a software developer at a tech company may be struggling with anxiety and depression, but he does not speak up about this situation, the challenges that he's facing, to his manager or his colleagues. He may try to hide his symptoms and push himself to work longer hours in order to meet the deadlines. And as a result, he may experience burnout, which will negatively impact his work performance, relationship with colleagues and managers, also with his family, and basically overall well-being. Another example, an employee covering up parts of their appearance. An employee, for example, who is a practicing Muslim, may feel like they have to hide their religion or religious beliefs and practices in order to fit in at a company that doesn't have many Muslim employees. And as an example, you might have a Muslim woman who wears a hijab, who may feel like she has to take it off when she's at work in order to avoid standing out or being perceived as different. And one more example, an employee covering up their sexual orientation. You might have an employee who is a member of the LGBTQ+ community who may feel like they have to hide their sexual orientation or gender identity in order to fit in at a company that doesn't have, again, many employees from that community. For example, a gay man who works at a very conservative company may feel like he has to keep his personal life private in order to avoid discrimination or harassment from his colleagues, therefore creating a barrier between him and his colleagues, the wider organization. As you can imagine, this has consequences. People doing a second job, people hiding, covering, will impact both their performance, their well-being, but also the organization as a whole, the organization's performance, and so on. When an employee is covering, for example, their mental health issues or hiding their true selves, it can have a significant impact both on them and the employer. For the employer, it can result in decreased productivity, lack of innovation, increased staff turnover and absenteeism, and additional recruitment and training expenses. And there are quite a few studies that show that employees who are not able to be their authentic selves at work are more likely to experience burnout and disengage from their work, which can lead to decreased productivity and increased staff turnover, as I mentioned before. And obviously, this goes beyond work as well. But there's a study conducted by Gallup in 2017 that says that organizations with engaged employees are 17% more productive than those with disengaged employees. From the employee side, if you are hiding your true self, obviously it's going to impact your mental health, which will then start showing up in your body, in physical well-being issues as well. There will be a lack of trust and communication challenges with your colleagues and managers, and you're likely not going to experience the same job satisfaction and fulfillment as you would if you weren't doing this second job. And again, there are some studies that show that employees who are not able to be their authentic selves at work are likely to experience that poor mental health and depression and anxiety. And actually, in 2020, the World Health Organization found that around 264 million people of all ages suffer from depression globally. So it's definitely taken its toll. Additionally, when employees are covering or hiding their personality or doing that second job, it decreases the accountability that they take, but increases the number of errors and accidents and safety incidents, and basically will limit their career advancement opportunities as well. It is really important to be your authentic true self, and not that you have to do that second job. And studies have shown that employees who are not able to be authentic selves are less likely to speak up about issues. They are less likely to ask for help or admit any types of mistakes. In other words, to put it in a way, maybe somewhat brutally, but with zero judgment, is from an employer's point of view, if you've got somebody doing this second job, you are pretty much paying them a full-time wage for part-time work. And this is happening every day, every week. And from an employee's point of view, doing this second job is like leading a double life. It's exhausting because you have to expand time and energy managing other people's impressions of yourself, showing yourselves in the best possible light to your best advantage, playing all sorts of games and politics. It's not like people doing a second job do it on purpose and willingly. Actually, it's often quite the opposite. They don't want to do it on purpose, but they simply do not know how to do it differently. They simply do not know and do not feel that they can be themselves. There are a number of things that organizations can implement to help their employees avoid the feeling the need for doing a second job. One of them is creating a culture of open communication, which basically means encouraging employees to speak up about their needs, their challenges, their concerns, and provide a safe and supportive environment for them to do so. This can be done by setting up regular check-ins, all sorts of team-building activities, and open forums for employees to share their thoughts and ideas. Fostering a culture of inclusivity and diversity will also go a very long way. So it's basically about creating an environment where all employees feel respected and valued, regardless of their background, their beliefs, or personal characteristics. This can be done by promoting diversity and inclusion, training and encouraging people to share their unique perspectives and experiences. Another thing to do is to recognize the importance of mental health and well-being and provide employees with the resources and support they need to take care of themselves. This can be done by offering employee assistance programs, mental health days, and providing access to counseling and therapy services, something that I'm a massive fan of. For those who need to hear it, therapy is a sign of courage and strength, not weakness. And somewhat connected to that is to encourage your employees in terms of personal and professional growth. So basically, it's about providing them with opportunities for that growth to happen. So providing training, mentoring, and career development programs. This will definitely help employees feel more fulfilled and engaged in their work, and they are then therefore less likely to hide their true selves, part of the personality, some of the weakness they might be facing. Culture of feedback is also very important. So it's about encouraging employees to give and receive that feedback. So and providing the training and teaching them, showing them how to give effective feedback and how to take feedback as well without getting defensive. This will help employees grow and develop and will create a culture of accountability and trust, which is something that is very, very important. Also, speaking of which, it's about that psychological safety, which is so often mentioned these days. It's very important to create a culture where employees feel safe to express themselves and their opinions without the fear of retaliation or being vilified for what they say or what they believe. This can be done by encouraging open communications, which we mentioned before, and promoting transparency and honesty in our conversations and our teams, and addressing conflicts and issues in a constructive and respectful manner. Something that I often see is that we avoid conflict. We tend to brush it under the carpet, and we don't actually recognize that conflict is not only something that we should not avoid, but it's actually something that we need. It's a natural part of collaboration. It's a natural part when people work together, they come together. There will be clashes, and it's normal. It's one of the key stages of a team developing. They have to go through that. It's normal. What's not normal is trying to brush it under the carpet. It's avoiding it. It's not learning how to deal with that awkward and difficult situations. Because if you continue sweeping things under the carpet, I can guarantee you one thing. Sooner or later, somebody's going to trip over that. And you've got a choice. You can either take that huge amount of energy that is created when people work together, when there's conflict, and you can try and harness that. There are two options. You can either harness that, as I say, or you can let it blow up in your face, destroying everything in its proximity. If you do harness that energy, I can guarantee you're going to be able to propel your team, your company, to a completely new level. Linked to conflict, linked to psychological safety, is vulnerability. And one of the things that you can do in your organization is to encourage employees to be more vulnerable and to be more open with their colleagues and their managers. This will help to build trust and foster deeper understanding of one another and leading to better teamwork and collaboration. Obviously, you can't just ask people to be vulnerable. It comes with time. It comes with people feeling safe. It comes with people feeling that they can trust one another. It's the next level. So you build to that. Taking it a little bit away from psychological safety and trust, it's sometimes we forget to celebrate successes. We are very quick to criticize, we're very quick to point out mistakes, but we're not so quick to celebrate successes. And it's really important to recognize and celebrate the successes of your employees and your teams. This will help build morale and motivation and will also encourage employees to be more open and authentic in their work. Regularly reviewing and evaluating is also something that you can do. It's basically not just evaluating your employees, but most of all, probably your culture, your processes, your initiatives, to ensure that they are aligned with what your organizational goals are, as well as what your values are, what your objectives are, what your purpose is, what your mission is, right? The whole shebang. This will definitely help you identify areas that need improvement and to make changes as needed. Organizations are living organisms and they will evolve. You will focus on something, you will fix it, you will improve it, then you can move on to something else because something, as you evolve, as you grow, new things will come up. So it's not a finite game, it's an infinite game that we're playing in this situation. And lastly, lead by example. As a leader, you have a very, very important role to be the model for the behavior you want to see in your organization. If you want your employees to do a certain thing, do that certain thing first. Lead by example and demonstrate the importance of authenticity, open communication, and inclusivity in your day-to-day interactions. Look at the signals that you're sending with what you do, because you might be saying one thing but doing something completely different. Examine that, because that has a very, very important role to play. If you're interested in more specific practices that you can implement that cover some of the things that I've mentioned, but also go somewhat beyond that, I encourage you to check out the Culture Micro Practices that I publish on my website, which is human.pm/CMP. I will also include the link to that in the episode description. A while back, I've published a blog post about the second job concept, and I sent it to a few people, some really close friends, but also some colleagues, just to get their viewpoint on, you know, what I've written, more kind of feedback on how the article flows and some of the arguments and things like that. And I got some amazing feedback, very useful, that helped me improve the article. But the most common response I got, and I was really, really surprised with that, was thank you. They were saying thank you because the article helped them realize it wasn't just them. They felt like they were doing that second job, but they felt it was just, you know, they were alone in that. And it turns out they're not. And it's actually quite common. So in a way, if you are tired of hiding parts of your personality, you feel you can't be your true self at work, you're not alone in that. Many of us find ourselves doing that second job of hiding and of covering parts of ourselves in order to fit in and avoid discrimination, judgment, ridicule, you name it. But What if we could change that? Imagine a workplace where you can be your authentic self, where you don't have to hide who you are, or that you don't know something, or do you have a weakness, or that you need help. A place where you can be accepted and valued for who you are. It's way past the time that we need to take action on this. And as employees, we have the power to create a more inclusive and accepting work environment. We need to speak up, share our stories, and advocate for change. And as employers, it's time to listen and create a culture that embraces diversity and promotes inclusivity and belonging. This is not only the right thing to do, but it also makes good business sense. A workplace where everyone feels comfortable being their authentic selves leads to a more engaged and more productive and fulfilled workforce. It's as simple as that. Right? It's not just on the employers, let me make that clear. Employees need to take ownership of their part as well. Employers need to strive to create that environment. Employees need to help create that environment, contribute and put in the bricks into that building as well. So let's take that first step towards creating a better organization and make them more inclusive for all of us. One thing I can tell you, that creating a workplace culture where no one is doing a second job doesn't mean firing everyone and starting from scratch. Nor is it about wrapping everyone in bubble wrap and treating them like fragile items. It's about making small incremental changes over time that will help make a big difference in the long run. And it's really everyone's responsibility to make that. I hope you enjoyed this explanation of the second job concept, something that I truly believe in, and something that I really should have talked about in this much detail way earlier. Apologies that I have not. I think it was just needed for me. I just needed to take a bit more time to formulate all of that in my head. I'm glad I did. I'm glad I had the opportunity to share that with you. I hope you enjoyed it. And if you have, I would really appreciate it if you shared it with somebody who you think needs to hear it as well. Somebody who would benefit from hearing that doing a second job of hiding yourself and parts of your personality and who you are at work is not necessary. And if they do, that they are not alone in that. So I would really appreciate it if you did share that with them. With that said, thank you very much for listening. Until next time.